Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. By the way, be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, that kind of thing. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file, or just a note if you'd rather, to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Of all the outdoor pursuits you've heard of, this is one for the books. Well, one book in particular, the Indiana Big Tree Register. Just like it sounds, this is a list of the state's largest trees categorized by different species. And there are people who read the list and go out and see the big trees. And some landowners welcome the attention from folks they jokingly call the tree huggers. Well, I got interested in this. It was a slow day in the Indiana Weekend newsroom, so I headed down to Trafalgar in Johnson County. That's where Pamela Henthorne and her husband Chris live. And on their property lives the largest sycamore in the state. 136 feet tall, and so big around, it would take 8 people holding hands to form a circle around the base. Pamela took me for a hike in the woods behind her house to see the tree. Of course, I would pick a very soggy morning after a hard rain. Good thing I had an extra pair of shoes in the car.
We're in Johnson County. This is little town Trafalgar. Which I had never heard of until we
before you moved here.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like we're in a state park. You have, how many acres do you have here?
15.
This is beautiful.
Thank you.
How long did it take to find it?
About 5 years of hunting, and we looked down in Martinsville area, you know, other places in Johnson County, and just, you know, knew when we found this was it.
By the way, we're starting down what looks like a steep. You suggested that I change shoes. Glad you did.
Right.
Where's the hiking trail?
Usually I take the four-wheeler, but there's only one. I can't get the other one out.
Oh,
we could
okay.
Use the four-wheeler.
So we're going down a... This would make a great sledding hill.
It is.
So this is kind of that rolling southern Indiana...
Right.
Kind of thing. And
right. You have a lot more hills, you know, down here than you do up, of course, on the north side of Indianapolis or whatever.
So you must see, what, deer and...
Tons of deer. We have a path right here, and we actually have a salt block right there. So deer and turkey, wild turkey. We had about 15 of them in our front yard a few weeks ago.
Now, what are they like? They're pretty smart, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't stick around too long.
We're going to wait. We're crossing now, kind of a wooden bridge over this little stream-looking thing here. And now we're walking on a...
We actually made this path to the tree so it'd be easier to get to. You know, a lot of people have the misconception thinking that it's right in our backyard, and it's not. It's a little bit in the woods, so...
You're sort of outdoorsy. You like hiking,
right.
Camping, things like that?
Right. I think my husband likes it a little bit more than I do. He takes a lot of...
You're a good sport, aren't you?
Yeah. I like it, too, but he's more into it than I am. He does a lot of backpacking trips. He actually left this morning to go up to the Boundary Waters of Minnesota to
wow.
Do a guy trip.
Well, he didn't make you go along with that.
No,
that's good.
It's all guys, so I'd probably slow him down.
Well, this is... So what kind of, did you get any sense of what this used to be? Was this farmland previously, or has it always been woods? Or
you know, I have a newspaper clipping or a picture of our tree, the big tree, and there's no other trees around it. It's got like an old pioneer family. So at one time, I think, you know, these trees weren't here. So, but that's the only picture that we have. And other than that, I really don't know, you know, a whole
sure.
Lot.
What do you know about the tree?
I don't know the exact measurements. I mean, I haven't, they're at the house. But I know it's 4 feet up from the ground. It's 26 and a half feet around.
Wow.
It's a big tree.
Right. And it's been here for a long time.
They say it's over 350 years old.
No kidding.
And I guess legend has it, like the Indians used to use it to camp out in it because it's hollow on the inside. And you can fit probably 5 to 6 good-sized men in it.
Oh, wow. Hey, there's a deer track right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep, sure is.
Maybe we'll see some. Now, I can hear not too far away. Is that Indiana 252 up here?
Mm-hmm. That's 252.
How many?
There's a creek that runs all the way through the back part of the property here.
Okay. And tell me the story about how did the state tree people come to see your tree and everything?
My husband's aunt saw an article in the Indianapolis Star on a big tree that at that time held the record. And she, you know, felt that our tree was bigger. So
she said, hey, you have a big tree.
Yeah. And there was information, you know, where you could contact them. So, and you could submit your, you know, your tree and all that. And we did. And then the DNR comes out and they measure it and do all their stuff. And sure enough, ours is bigger.
Pamela Henthorne of Johnson County, as we checked out the state's largest sycamore tree, which is on her property. The state actually keeps a record of the largest trees, known as the Indiana Tree Register. People are fascinated by these leviathans of the forest, so the Henthornes have actually cut a path through the woods to their sycamore. Ominously, as we were gawking at this creature, there came from off in the woods the sound of a chainsaw. What could that be? We'll pick up the story in just a minute, but straight ahead, an update with Hurley Goodall, the Muncie man who knocked down racial barriers 50 years ago, and what he thinks about race relations in the city now.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
You might know him as part of the local history in Muncie. Hurley Goodall grew up in the Whiteley neighborhood and was a union president at a local factory by age 20. He went on to become the first black member of the Muncie School Board, the second black firefighter on the Muncie Fire Department, and a member of the Indiana House of Representatives for 14 years. At age 83 now, and having just lost his wife a few months ago, Mr. Goodall has slowed down a little, but not stopped, especially when it concerns his hometown. We sat on his front porch one evening recently. Just as we started talking, a train pulled by us on the nearby railroad tracks.
We're in the Whiteley neighborhood. This is Whiteley.
This is Whiteley. I was born and raised here. Yeah.
Do you remember those trains your whole life?
I sure do. I lived over on in the other Whiteley area on the other side of Highland Avenue and grew up on Butler Street over there. And then my wife and I were able to get this house built about 1950s. It was just, I guess it's just a normal community like any other place, and it really had a good base as far as its economic base. A lot of that's gone now.
I mean, there were jobs.
Warner Gear probably had 25,000 or 30,000 workers in that plant over there.
Were there jobs for black folks, too?
After a while, they early on they didn't, but I think I was involved in some of the hell raising that got some things changed.
Tell me about that.
Well, it was just, you know, challenging them, you know, that, you know, why there are not any black employees in that plant, you know, and finally embarrassed several of them to make changes.
Fair to say Whiteley is the center of the African-American community in Muncie? Is that the way to put it?
That's 50% of it, because the industry area is the other large African-American community, and then the rest of it was here in the Whiteley area.
You're 83 years old. Are you surprised at how much the country has changed since the 30s and 40s when you were coming up?
I'm not really surprised, but I'm pleased that things have changed a lot than what they were when I was a youngster. And back in the 30s and all, hell, the Ku Klux Klan ran Muncie in Delaware County. And so it was not a pleasant place for black people.
What was that like?
Well, just as a child, you know, I really was not involved in the dialogue, interaction between the races and all. Just when I got old enough to go to school and went to Muncie Central and other school, McKinley Junior High School and all, you know, and then became a little more interactive with the white community.
Fair to say, you were, for a time, Muncie's best-known black politician.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I had, you know, good support from whites and black, because I was real active in the union movement here. And when I was in Central High School and graduated, then I got a job at Muncie-Malma Foundry over on the other side of McCullough Park. And I became real active in that union, and I was president of that union before I was 20 years old. I couldn't believe it that over 500 workers worked there, and they elected me as president of the union.
Why did they do that?
Because I went down there, I was working there, and they were having trouble getting leaders that they had confidence in. And some of the guys in the plant just said, "Goodall, why don't you run for president of the union? We'll support you." I said, "Oh, you got to be kidding. I haven't had anything any experience." He said, "Yeah, but we need some changes and all." And they talked me into it. I was dumb enough to get in.
It's a nice afternoon. Your neighbor's cutting the grass.
Yeah, that happens a lot out here. Yeah,
that happens a lot out here.
Yeah.
Good timing, just as we're on the radio.
I'm usually guilty as they are.
No. You want your neighbors to cut their grass.
Yeah,
definitely.
True.
This is a tidy neighborhood, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Tell me about this time, though. The Klan, I know, was active in the 20s, and Indiana had a Klan governor for a while, and you had D.C. Stevenson down there in Indianapolis. What was going on in Muncie, Delaware County?
Muncie was a kind of a solid Klan area.
Was this the kind of thing where there would be a march through town, or were you harassed
here?
Yeah,
I remember a little bit about it. I don't remember seeing that many parades, you know, downtown. I think there were two or three that my mother took us. Boy, there were three of us to see.
Your mother took you to see a Ku Klux Klan parade.
Yeah.
Do you remember how old you were?
I'd say probably 7 or 8.
Why did she do that?
Well, I asked her to take us. You know, I was interested to see what was going on, you know, and there was some fear and some apprehension, but I was interested in what was going on. I've always been interested in race issues. All my life. That's how I got my political career started.
So when your mom took you down to see this Klan parade in Muncie, mm-hmm. and you're 7 years old, was it frightening?
It was during the day. It was late in something. I think it was like about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that.
Take me back there. We're standing there. What are we seeing?
Just seeing a whole bunch of, I don't know, kind of hateful people. With what they were espousing and championing, you know, if it had been cheering for one of the high schools or something like that, it'd just been routine and normal. But this were some people that were parading for racism or something. I don't know how to describe it. Cause
were they wearing those white robes and hoods and all that? Or
yeah, they had hoods and capes.
Walking or riding horses or cars?
There were a few trucks that had people riding on them, but then there were a few cars, but most of them were on foot.
Did any of the people around the parade direct any comments at you or do anything like that?
I don't remember them doing anything like that. I think there was a little apprehension.
Your desire to go see this,
yeah.
That's kind of who you are. You sounds like, because you later became involved at a very early age, age 20, you became a union local mm-hmm. president. You went on, served 14 years in the Indiana House. I guess you always had an interest in what was going on.
Yeah, I sure did. Yeah, I was also the first black member of the Muncie Board of Education.
Is that how you got started in politics, with your concern about the schools?
Yep.
And what were the schools like? What was the concern at that time?
My main concern is when I went through the school system here, I didn't have a black teacher that looked like me the whole 12-year span that I was there. And when my children came, I want to make sure that didn't happen to them, that there were black teachers in the schools that they could relate to because they looked just like them and came from the same part of the community.
Hurley Goodall, retired seven-term member of the Indiana General Assembly, who also served as Muncie's first black school board member and second black firefighter. I looked him up because he's 83 now, and it's good to hear some of the stories that remind us where we come from as a country. Just ahead, on the lighter side, another part of the state, another yard, Pamela Henthorne of Johnson County, whose property includes the state's largest sycamore tree and some bats under the back porch. The awe and mystery of the Trafalgar sycamore straight ahead.
The key's on my key ring that opens your front door.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Went for a hike in the woods near Trafalgar in Johnson County the other day. This is just outside Camp Atterbury, and folks around there are used to the boom of nearby military gunfire. On this morning, though, it was just Pamela Henthorne and me hiking to the back of her 15 acres to see an enormous tree next to the creek that runs through the property. This is the biggest sycamore you've ever seen, well, at least in this state. It's actually listed in the Indiana Tree Register as the largest sycamore in the state. The trunk is about the size of a mid-sized Chevy, maybe even a minivan. So we hike down there, down a muddy, steep hill and through the woods. We see this enormous tree. You can see a picture on our Indiana Weekend Facebook page. And it's interesting that part of the base is hollowed out. You could actually fit several people in the trunk of this thing.
You can see on the back there,
yeah.
The neighbors, before we bought the property, the neighbors' kids used to camp out in it, and they started a fire and actually charred it a little bit.
Built a fire inside the tree, because there's another opening up there, would be like a chimney.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to tell people, hey, be nice to the tree?
Yeah. You can't harm it. It's protected. So.
No more fire. Is it protected? Is there like a...
Yes, it's historically protected.
Oh, that's good.
Which, I mean, you know, who would want to cut it down anyway?
Oh, I know, but... You don't want people carving their initials on it, you know.
Right.
Daniel Boone was here.
Right.
Wait a minute. What's that? It's not a chainsaw off in the distance, is it?
It sounds like it.
It's coming this way.
I think the neighbors are cutting some wood. So
there must be an unending supply of firewood.
Right, yep. My husband comes out every summer and sometimes in the winter and cuts tons and tons of firewood.
Now, your husband being a camper and a backpacker, does he ever come out here and just, you know, hang out by your tree?
You know, he has before, I have to admit. He may not like me admitting that, but he has.
Well, no, I mean, he should. This is a very peaceful place, except for that chainsaw. No. That's why you get property like this, so you can come out and enjoy it.
Right, yeah. It is really, really peaceful. And like you said, when you first got here, you heard all the birds and all that. We just love sitting out on the deck at night. You can hear the frogs, the birds, you know, all of it. It's just nature. You know, it's just something about it. It's so relaxing.
And where we are with the tree, we are, there's a creek here, and we're kind of on a, I don't know, a mini bluff, maybe 15 feet over the creek, and it's just a gorgeous spot.
This is where I find my mushrooms.
Oh, you do mushroom hunting here?
Yes. And I found some a couple weekends ago right across the creek here.
Now, what else do you... You've seen the deer here? Any other unusual...
We have... we have the Indiana brown bats. We actually have some of those. We have bat house, but they actually hang out up under our deck. And then we have owls.
Wait a minute. The bats under the deck of your house, and you're okay with that?
Oh, yeah, they're fine.
I guess you can tell I'm a city person.
Yeah, and the brown bats are protected, too, because they're almost extinct, so the brown bats. So
you can't disturb them?
No.
You have to keep the stereo down?
Right.
don't wake up the bat babies?
Right. But they're pretty cool. They eat bugs, mosquitoes, and all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
And we have a couple owls that hang out.
Have you ever heard of people who have recorded owl calls, and they play the owl calls, and the owls come in?
No, I've never heard of that.
Maybe you guys can try that. You already have the owls, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's remarkable, isn't it, how many different critters you'll see?
I mean, it's fun. Even, you know, you see squirrels and stuff like that in the city, but, you know, it's fun just sitting on the porch and watching the squirrels play. Squirrels are actually very entertaining. They chase each other. They'll jump from tree to tree. You know, they're very entertaining. You don't have to go to a movie. You can just sit and watch the squirrels.
Watch the squirrels. No kidding. How often do people come around wanting to talk about or see the tree?
It's every time there's an article. We've had a couple articles in the paper, and usually after people see that, we've had people call and want to see the tree. And some have come. Some of them, like I said, thought it was right in our backyard, like we had a senior citizen home. That one to bring their own elderly.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, with walkers and wheelchairs, of course, you couldn't make it down here. So, but we've had some school children. They came and had their picture taken and did a little, you know, drawing and stuff. I had a guy from France, actually.
Tell me what that was like.
Well, I didn't actually get to meet him. He came when I wasn't here. It was our neighbor's son-in-law, I believe. And she called and wanted to know if he could come and see the tree. And I'm saying, yeah, sure, you know. But he was from France, so it was pretty cool.
You need one of those maps with a little pin for
right.
Where everybody's come from. And you have a photograph that shows the tree at a time when there weren't other trees around?
Correct.
Wow. That must have been a while ago, because we're in a heavily forested area.
Right, right. I mean, I don't know how many years ago it was, but the family that's in front of the tree looked like an old pioneer-type family, you know, in the old clothes and all that. So, I mean, I'm sure it was the early 1900s.
What did the naturalist or whoever came out from the state, did they declare it's in good health? How long? It's not going to—I mean, because this big open space here— you might be worried the tree could be sick or something like that?
No, it's actually in good health. It's, you know, a lot of people think because it's hollow that it's dead, but it's not. It shed, you know, sycamores shed every year, and every year it sheds all of the bark and or you can tell by looking at it with the leaves and all that on it that it's fine.
Yeah, it looks good.
And I mean, it's survived 350 some years. I mean, you know, a lot of people ask us after we have a big storm, you know, is your tree okay? And I'm like, you know, this thing survived who knows how many storms and tornadoes. It's fine.
Pamela Henthorne of Johnson County. Believe it or not, the state's big trees are something of a tourist attraction. You can find the tree register online, and we'll even post a link from the Indiana Weekend Facebook page. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. And if you like, consider sending us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder, speak your piece, and email the file to us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.